Welcome to the January 26th service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. Our service today is led by worship associates Victoria Taylor and Stephen Henninger. The title of the sermon, delivered by Victoria, is All of Me, Embracing the Whole.
Our reading today is from Lonnie Jarrett in Nourishing Destiny. The study and practice of Chinese medicine involves being able to hold simultaneously in our consideration seemingly contradictory principles without feeling the need to consider one view correct and others incorrect.
Hi. So when we were in worship services meeting and we heard that the theme for the month of January was going to be integrity, my mind, of course, immediately went to the Tao. I'm a licensed acupuncturist, and I've been studying the Tao in that capacity for over 30 years. Lonnie Jarrett was one of my teachers. So the other day, one of my patients, who I've known for a long time, knows my practice quite well, had saw the announcement for the service on Facebook. And she said to me, with a very funny look on her face, "How do you know anything about the Tao?" And I guess she thought that the Tao must be a religion, and she hadn't, you know, driven around town and seen the Church of Tao anywhere in the New River Valley. And so I realized that she didn't understand that Taoism is the fundamental basis for the practice of Asian energy medicine, and thus acupuncture. And although I am not Asian, I am a student of these principles. Taoism is also the name of the discipline of people who follow the Tao Te Ching, which is a book called the Book of Way and Virtue, collected from the sayings of Lao Tzu, who is a Chinese philosopher who lived about 6,000 years before the Common Era. And so that's sometimes why it's become interpreted as a religion or a religious path. And indeed, there are people who call themselves Taoist Buddhists. So that is because they follow the teachings of the way. So the word Tao translates as the way or the path or the whole. It's what we do as we go through life. Te means virtue. So it's the book of the way and the virtue. So let's talk about that a little. What does that have to do with integrity, right? So the first thing you need to know is that the first line of the Tao Te Ching says, "The Tao that can be spoken of is not the Tao." So what Lao Tzu is telling us is that once we begin to talk about something, we sort of, as we objectify it, we remove ourselves from it, and therefore it's not us, it's not whole, it's not one. So there's that. But let's try to talk about it a little bit. That selection goes on further to state the great integrity, which is his translation of Tao, is the mystery within manifestations, the manifestation within mystery, the naming of the unnamed and the unnaming of the named. That's kind of entangled. In fact, I remember my middle school teacher, and Pam will agree, my middle school English teacher, told me that you can't define something by using the word you're defining. So the naming of the unnamed and the unnaming of the named really kind of tells us nothing. But that might be the point. Let's remember the reading. The study and practice of Chinese medicine involves being able to hold simultaneously within our consideration seemingly contradictory principles without feeling the need to consider one view correct and the other incorrect. Okay, so that won't tell us anything until we understand the principles of Tao known as yin and yang. I actually found this old yin and yang sign in the closet that I left there several years ago. Do we have this thing? Yeah. So, just refer to that. Because this one's little. And as Pam would say, if we had a monitor. Okay. Now, everybody has probably seen this sign. It's known as the Tao sign or the Tai Chi. And some people associate it with a counterculture of some sort, maybe skateboarders, surfers, hippies, martial artists, acupuncturists, right? But what this sign, this Tao sign is, it's actually a mathematical representation of the idea that maximally opposing aspects add up to form a unity, and each aspect is both the negation and the inversion of the other aspect. That's not much better than that first one, but let me try again. The Tao sign, goes this way, mathematically represents the idea that maximally opposing aspects add up to form a unity, and each aspect is both the negation and the inversion of the other. So the energetics of the yin and yang are more than opposites attract, and they're even more than you need some negative to see the positive. Because each aspect is both simultaneously the negation and the inversion of the other. Okay, so we, you and I, in our culture, we're accustomed to living in a dualistic paradigm, right? Right, wrong, up, down, I'm smart, you're dumb. Anybody remember Matilda? I'm big, you're small, I'm smart, you're dumb. Right. Okay, this dualistic paradigm is actually a fairly new evolutionary paradigm. The dualistic mindset is very handy, especially when doing things like arithmetic or building or jurisprudence, right? But like in our For All Ages, it's good news, but it's also limiting. If you're sure you know, you might not, right? So there, we have to engage in what other possibilities might there be. So to get underneath this dualistic mindset, you have to also remember that folk in ancient times, all folk on all continents, didn't have that sort of dominion and separation from nature that we have, but they were part of nature. The weather, the topography, the flora, and the fauna, that informed every action. So like, well, you might have heard that we talked about the second new moon after the solstice as the timing for New Year's. You know, that's why it always has funny dates, right? In American New Year, it's always on January 1st. That makes sense. But this one moves. It moves because it's based on a natural phenomenon. And we can't take ourselves out of nature as hard as we try, right? And our Earth Spirit Sisters, they are the people in this congregation who are bringing that into our worship because it's there whether you notice it or not. You could not know what phase the moon is, but it is that phase. All right. So when we look at Taoism, we have to remember that we're part of these natural forces. So the words yin and yang are used to describe certain attributes of nature that are fundamental and always happen. The nature of yin, that's the sort of black part. Yin is the descending nature. It's the contracting nature. It's cooler, wetter, darker, damper. Everybody get a sense of that energy? So the yang nature is the inverse, right? It is the growing, expanding, hot, warm, rapid kinds of energy. All right, those are the two natures. And they only exist in relationship to each other. So you don't have like, this is yin and that is yang. You only have them in relationship to each other. So for example, the out of doors is very yang compared to in here, right? Because in here it's more contained and still and quiet as of outdoors, anything could happen. But this storage closet, anybody been in that storage closet? It's pretty yin, right? It's pretty contained, right? And in that storage closet, there's a little box that's more yin than the closet. Do you understand? Right? So the box is much, much, much more yin than the out of doors. But the closet is only a little bit more yang than the box. And this room is a little bit more yang than the closet. And outside is a lot more yang than in here. You see? But there isn't any is yang. I can't say, show me an example of yang or show me an example of yin. They're a dancing duality of relationship. Everybody kind of get that? Good. So when we, people of a dualistic mindset, see this Tao sign, we want to ascribe to it duality, because that's how our minds are trained to think. But it's actually kind of an anti-duality symbol. The nature of yin and yang isn't fixed, right? It only exists in relationship to each other. And that this is kind of interesting to me, that in around the same time that Lao Tzu was writing, in Persia there was another philosopher writing named Zoroaster, Zarathustra. And he was writing all about duality at the same time that Lao Tzu was writing, trying to encourage us to have no duality or have a different view of duality. So, well, he didn't have duality. Encouraging people to stay on the whole path. So I think that's interesting that happened. Anyway, the nature, let me talk a little bit, let me give you another example about this sort of duality versus the integrity, okay? So imagine this is like a scale, right? Can you see this piece of paper? This is a piece of void paper. It's like a scale. I'll hold it this way so you can see a little better. So think of any natural phenomenon or attribute, like goodness, right? We're liberal people. We understand things exist on a spectrum. So let's see. It's good. Oh, well, wait. It's going down here. Is this less good over here? Is it not so bad? Is this really bad, right? Oh, what about the other way? Oh, yeah, this is less bad, maybe a little more good, right? Right. This is kind of how we judge things in our mindset, okay? But since yin and yang are aspects of the same phenomenon, we're going to actually loop this and put a little twist in it. Ta-da. Well, that's not so good. Reality is more like this. Reality, nature, exists more like this. I got all kinds of props. Then this, right? Think about your life. Is your life like this? Or is it like this? And it's actually not even really like this. It's like this, right? So this is this. Can you see it's the same thing, right? I thought about giving everybody strips of paper and having everybody make these, but it got a little overwhelmed-y. Is that a word? So I do have, if you're really committed to trying this, I have some strips up here for after service. Okay. All right, so let's think about this again. Yin and yang create each other. Yin and yang are inseparable. They're interdependent. And they control each other. Those are the fundamental principles. You learn those in your first week at acupuncture school, right? They create, they adjust, they harmonize. You never have the same thing over and over again, right? In this world, good, bad, good, bad, right? In this one, it's all kind of possibility, right? So let's bring this a little more into your own experience. Think about your breath. All right? An inhale, is an inhale good or an inhale bad? Was an exhale, right? Yes. Right? An inhale is not categorically better or worse than an exhale. You never can have one without the other. Well, that is until you don't. And then that is synonymous with, in Chinese medicine, actually, absolute yin or absolute yang is the word for death, right? If you don't have your next inhale or exhale, the gig is up, right? Now, every part of your breath is different and necessary. And if any of you have done any breath study, you know that you actually don't even breathe the same any time. Sometimes we inhale short and exhale long. Sometimes we breathe in through the nose and out the mouth. It's the same thing. It's creating, adjusting, and harmonizing to what the circumstances require. If you're running a race, you're going to breathe faster. Are those good breaths or bad breaths? They aren't. They're breaths, right? If you're meditating, you might breathe more slowly, right? So you adjust and harmonize your breath, your yinness and your yangness, as nature requires. Okay, so what? That funny symbol has deep meaning. Well, let's see what we can pull out of that, all right? How we can see this in our lives. So first of all, I noticed that there is some freedom in breaking out of the constraints of duality, right? We talked about that. Things really are more than they seem. And one of the things about that is that they not only include what's going on in the moment, but they include the energy of what led up to it and the energy afterwards. You ever had a party and really had more fun preparing the party than having the party? Or you had a party and the memory of the party was bigger than the party, right? Either way, right? So including the energy of before and after puts a different spin on the is, right? So then if you think about the is-is, you understand what I mean, is-is, of what's popular, important, or valued as static entities, like that's in, right? That's good. Maybe they're just static entities. There's a separateness that comes from discluding and a richness that comes from including. I thought of another example. I have this dish by my bedside table that I put my rings in every night, and it's really not that attractive. But one of my children made it for me at summer camp. And so the static entity, not so great. But the energy of that dish, the love and the memories, that makes it really special, right? So if we just valued on the it, I wouldn't have that dish, all right? And then think about the educators and those of us who are committed to process over product. That's a big conversation in education and institutions. If you are only focused on product, then you don't have consideration for, what was damaged in the process to get there. But if you're concerned about the process, the whole energy of it, then it all becomes important. Does that make any sense? Now, in my practice, I often hear my patients complain about their anger, right? That's something we all complain about. Oftentimes, actually, what they're really saying is that other people are complaining about their anger, but or their perception of it, or the damage it may cause. Now, I am clear that dangerous and deleterious actions have occurred because of unchecked anger, so I'm not saying let's all go be angry. But I also know that looking at life this way, anger is an energy that is interdependent with other energies, the ones it creates and controls. So let's think about it. What other energy does anger create and control? Now, our dual minds might immediately go to calm, right? Calm, anger. But calm didn't get anything fixed. It is actually creativity. Creativity is the other side of anger. You think about it, a little seed, this quintessential symbol of creativity, and it begins to grow, right? Right? And then somebody steps on it. Oh, well, it's creativity. It grows again. And then somebody steps on it. And it grows again, and somebody steps on it. Right? You get really mad. So creativity and anger, from complaint to possibility, right? You do it the other way. If you're angry about something, then there's opportunity in that. If people didn't get angry, they would never see what was unjust. They'd never see what was out of place or not helpful. Nothing would ever get fixed. Nothing would ever get created or improved upon. If we thought about anger and if we think about anger rather than being that bad angry thing as creativity out of balance, unexpressed creativity, unacknowledged, well, then there's some possibility in that. Did anybody see the movie Ford versus Ferrari? And at the when he just has this, I'm not going to, no spoilers, but something really unjust happens at the end. And the person to whom it happens has kind of a temper, and I'm expecting he's going to burn the place down. And his coach, his partner, turns to him, puts his arm around and says, so what can we do next time to make it better? Right? He took that anger and turned it into creativity. It was brilliant. It was the Tao. All right? So maybe next time when someone's yelling at you, instead of trying to shush them up and say, "Stop yelling at me," you might say, "What would you like to happen?" Might help. So in Chinese medicine, this is the emotion of the energy we call wood. In Asian energy medicine, we see the world as a transformation of an ever-moving tapestry of five aspects of energy. We call this the Wu Sing, Wu Five Sing transformations. The five aspects are given the names of these universal elements, the ones we look at, we understand from looking outside, right? Fire, earth, metal, water, wood. Five elements. Each creating and controlling each other. The Wu Sing is never still. Nothing exists or escapes this dance of transformation. So Wu Sing is actually Chinese for the interdependent web of life. So this creativity and to anger, part of the Wu Sing. All aspects of the continuum are important. It is the appropriateness of the response that affects your Tei or your virtue. And virtue is also the way of contentment, right? So if your Tei is off, your life is off. Things feel hard, and the consequences of life become harsh and difficult to bear. So if we can transform that which is making life harsh and difficult to bear, perhaps it might be less difficult to bear. All right, let's try another one. Are you with me? Another energetic continuum happens when we care about each other, right? We nurture each other, our partners, our neighbors, our coworkers, people who work with animals, they care about their animals. And so when those that we love and nurture have trouble, our nurture turns to sympathy, and we begin thinking about how we can help them and what we can do. But if this thinking happens without acting, then our sympathy turns to worry. See the difference? Our worry turns into anxiety. So if you're anxious about something, it just means you really love them, right? Here's another film reference. I didn't know I was such a film goer. Anybody see The Bridge of Spies? So Tom Hanks plays this legal counsel, James Donovan, to a convicted Soviet spy named Rudolf Abel. And all these really scary things are happening in terms of jurisprudence. And the Hanks character keeps turning to the Rylance character and saying, "Are you worried?" And he keeps looking back at him and saying, "Would it help?" So to me, that's a perfect example of that. But if we didn't care and we didn't notice and we didn't worry, then we wouldn't see what was wanted and needed by our families and friends and our communities. So by caring and noticing, that actually grounds and nurtures us and puts protection. So that energy, that grounding, nurturing, protecting energy, we call that earth. Earth energy keeps us taken care of, right? So I'm not saying that emotions aren't important. I'm not saying don't be anxious if there's something to be anxious about. Emotions are signals, actually, that you're participating in the world. Well, you have to have them. Have your emotions, okay? I'm not saying don't have your emotions. But our culture ascribes certain moral values to emotional expression, like don't cry, behave, suck it up, right? And I am a fan of self-regulation, but I also know being able to understand your emotions and act appropriately is really a key to mental health. In fact, my daughter, who is a neuroscientist in the psychology department at Western Carolina University, told me that children who don't, who have like easygoing, calm child personalities have more trouble as adults with self-regulation than children who emote a lot. I was one of those sensitive children. Because when you emote, you learn to self-regulate. And you learn to identify your emotions and the utility of your emotions. So have emotions. But in the Wu Sing, we have a model for constructive emotion. Having our emotions actually change and transform, like yin and yang, as the circumstances require. All right. There are actually three more. Right? Wood is anger and creativity. Earth is nurture and worry. I'm going to very briefly, just for sake of completion, go through the next three. All right, water. Water is, think about water, think about like the ocean. It's energy that's cold and deep. It's full of mystery. It's life-giving, but also extinguishing, right? Water evokes strong feelings, amazement, reliance, fear. There's no fear without courage. There's no exhilaration of success without the chance to fail. Remember, it's not an either or. It's like there's glass on the path. I can still go. I just don't have to step on the glass, right? Fear and courage, right? I think about the people in the last week who have raised their voice in demonstration, people in Richmond, people in D.C., who they had, they're standing up for what they believe. They have courage. But is their courage to stand up for it also based in fear of what they might not have or what they perceive they don't have, right? So you can't separate fear from courage. It's kind of fascinating. The combination of each transforming as the situation calls for. So that's the water energy. Oh, my husband was saying this morning, how about the people in the Methodist Church who are just voted to rearrange what they how they stand for gay rights, but not everyone wants to recognize, I think it's pastors, that gay people can be pastors. And so they're willing to stand up for what they believe, whether either or, facing great risk that their whole, the world as they know it, will be cracked apart. They'll lose their congregations. It's kind of fascinating, right? That dance. All right. Metal. So that's water. Metal. The fundamental questions of value, inclusion, and exclusion are the nature of the phase we call metal. There is no acceptance without releasing, and no releasing without acceptance. And this is often ascribed to the experience of grief, right? It's important to grieve, and humans need a lot of space and time for grieving. Grieve. Grieve until it's over. But if you don't grieve until it's over, people often get stuck in a memory or in some sort of creating a false reality. They haven't let it all go, and so they have a construct around them. I think of the tales of the Confederate widow, you know, who gets dressed every night and lights the candle, silver candlesticks, waiting for the South to rise again, but not noticing all the change in the world around her, some of which was very exciting. And fun to, you know, changing the economic system, that sort of thing. Things come and things go. Ecclesiastes speaks really nicely to that flow of time and circumstances. But don't forget, some structure and some certainty are important to one's sense of belonging and security, like our covenant or our principles. Those are solid and secure. Without that ritual, without that certainty and that schedule, then your life would become chaotic and devoid of impact and meaning. So there's this dance of structure and letting go, receiving and releasing, accepting and contributing. Actually, we did this earlier in the service where we declared the circle of giving has no beginning and no end, right? Sometimes we're the givers and sometimes we're the receivers. That's the yin and yang of the metal element. All right, one more. Fire. Fire, right? Fire is the energy of the South. It's teenage energy, summer, heat, action, right? It is the most yang of all the energies. Can there be a yin side of this yang? Well, there has to be, or we would all like implode, right? We actually, as part of our service, acknowledge the yin side of fire in our candle table, right? This is the nurturing, memory, sweet side of fire, right? The emotion most associated with fire is the aspect of joy, but it's kind of all kinds of joy, not just happy. It's like from passion to contentment. Passion fuels so much of what we accomplish. If we didn't give room for passion, again, nothing, very little would happen. And our passion fuels much of what we accomplish and therefore what we are content about, right? We did that. We worked hard, and now we get to have the emotion of contentment, the inversion, the other side of all of that energy, right? Contentment, I said that, enjoying the fruits of the passion-filled accomplishments. There are all kinds of joy. simple joy and a pleasant spring breeze. Patriotic pride is a kind of joy. The joy of parenting, the joys of contributing, the joys of watching others. Now, but duality can trap us into thinking that happiness is measured by circumstances. I have, therefore I am happy. This happened, therefore I am happy. Right? When I work with drug addicts in a residential treatment, and we do a series of exercises. And at the end of the exercises, I ask them, whose circumstances have changed since we've been in this room? Nobody's has, right? And their bills didn't get paid, their sentences didn't get released. I said, whose moods changed? About three quarters of them always raised their hand. I said, you thought your mood might be related to your circumstances. What if it comes from somewhere else, right? What if it comes from here? Like a bad day. Why make the whole day bad? You had bad things happen. Bad things really happen. I'm not saying bad things don't happen. But you can find some kind of a joy somewhere in all sorts of unexpected places, even if it is a crazy hippie lady coming into your residential treatment program and leaving you to stand on one foot. Now, I also know that there is reckless joy, right? Like reckless passion. If you listen to the news, quests for joy and unfulfilled expectations often lead to unhealthy behaviors, addictions, and violence. Right? So reckless passion, simple joy. Maybe we increase simple joy with lower reckless passion, kind of like what I do with my clients. All right. So it's been sort of a brief overview of the dance of the Wu-Sing, of the elements, the wood, the fire, the earth, the metal, the water, the five that create one. Five full aspects of the human experience. We have them all, and we need them all, and we should recognize them all. They're not static, they're not is-is, but they shift and transform and create and reveal and give us rich and full lives. And so then I was thinking about what holds it all together, all these transforming emotions. And I think it's love. I think love is this glue right down the middle. Yin and yang, inseparable, interdependent, kind of like us, right? Two energies creating, supporting, depending. Yin upon yang, yang upon yin, me upon you, you upon me. So whether you're talking about emotions or internal organs or members of the community, remember that we're always here all together like the Tao. Thank you.